Sam, welcome to Jason Waller Unleashed. Real talk, real success. I'm host Jason Waller, former billion-dollar business entrepreneur, elite business coach, two-time top five podcast host with the BAM Podcast and the True Underdog. You might know me from my TED Talks, best-selling books, or even my brand new reality TV show on Amazon, BAM Fam. Are you hungry for inspiration, wisdom, perhaps a hearty laugh? Get ready for a dynamic, electrifying journey filled with towering business triumphs, intimate family moments, and raw honesty that you won't find anywhere else. Buckle up. This is about to get dope as hell. I'm telling you, I have had all kinds of guests on my previous shows, and we're going to have some bomb guests on this. We're going to be talking about everything from politics to money to business to family to drama to kids to you name it. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be real. It's going to be raw. It's going to be in your face. It is Jason Waller Unleashed. Real talk, real success coming now. Bam! Bam! Jason Waller here. That's right, with Jason Waller Unleashed, the biggest, the baddest, the fastest growing podcast on society, culture, comedy, entrepreneurship, business. I'm bringing it here live, real, and raw. I've got a special guest today. She is coming all the way right now from the UK. She is a badass, award-winning actress, writer, producer. She's done it all. She's overcome some mental health issues with dyslexia and Asperger's as a child, and she is living her dream and pursuing it. Badass Charlotte Kirk, how you doing?
Oh, I'm great after that intro. Thank you.
Isn't that great? I try to bring the energy. I mean, we were just chatting a little bit ago. You got the Purple Rain shirt on, talking about that Prince is a legend,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. You got to follow legends, right? Epic, you know.
I do. So I will start out with this, and we'll get into you. Biggie or Tupac?
Ooh.
It's always stumped to people. Not me, but stumped up some people.
If I had to say, Biggie.
What the fuck? I thought we were friends. You know? I'm a Pac fan. I'm West Side every time. Biggie was more like club music. Pac was more like in your soul. I'm going to steal your soul and rip it right the fuck out.
True. I love Biggie. I love it. I just think.
You like the club beat. I get it. I like to drive and think, right? I used to listen to Pac. I was 17. I drove from North Carolina all the way to Arizona by myself and back. And all I did is listen to Pac's All Eyes on Me on a cassette tape back then, flipping it back and forth. So I think I memorized every breath, let alone every word in the whole album. So it was pretty good. So let's start with this for the viewers and listeners out there and watching the podcast and wanting to know who Charlotte Kirk is. I mean, we found each other on Instagram and LinkedIn, and I see like you are an award-winning actress. You've got the Lair that just came out. I watched the trailer on that, and I'm into aliens. You can see Zara and Zog behind me. Like they chat with me all the time, and they're talking about how they want to watch that show. But that was pretty dope. But before we get into that, so everybody stay tuned to that. We're going to talk about that because that's a badass show that's out that I was just watching a clip on that was really good. Let's talk about how you got started to be an actress. Cause you know, I got this reality TV show going. So I'm always intrigued by people who have been on that side of the fence, have done acting, have done shows, you've written, you've produced, but you know, as a child, you had some issues with Asperger's and you aspired to be an actress. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So school was always really difficult for me. I absolutely hated it. Anything academic, maths, English, geography, science, I absolutely hated. And, you know, I was the stupid kid in school, the dyslexic, Asperger's. I always had a sitting next to me. So I was like the black sheep. I'm like, everyone was like, why has this girl got someone next to her? Like, she's thick, she's stupid. She's not going anywhere. Like, she's a write-off. I always had that in school. But then a few days a week, 2-3 days a week, I had drama class. And that was when I was, you know, every time I walked into that room, I was like, yeah, I love it. I fit in here. I'm good at this and I love it. And I just couldn't explain it. And I just knew.
What was your first drama thing in class? Like people that have ever had drama class and they were one of the main actors or actresses in that event in school. What was yours? Do you remember that one?
Well, in school, I wasn't the main one though. I didn't get a show. It was Oliver Twist, but I was one of the flower girls. I didn't play Nancy. I didn't get Nancy. I was one of the the background. I know.
But you loved that though, right? You loved being a part of that.
Loved it. Loved it. And then at weekends, so school Monday to Friday, and the weekends, I just begged my mum and dad to put me into any drama school, like a weekend thing, which I did. Dance, drama, singing. Terrible at dance, but pretty good at singing and loved acting. And and then that was it. And then after I graduated school, I went to drama school here. And then when I was 19, someone said to me, Charlotte, if you want to be an actress, you got to go to the States. Like, what are you doing here? I'm like, really? You have to go to America? Yes, go to America. And that was it. I didn't think twice. I packed my bags and I left. I was just like, okay. I know.
And you just go there and you're like, so because Hollywood and LA and getting into that to break that barrier is tough. There's a lot of millions of people have those aspirations and dreams of I'm just going to pack my shit and go to Hollywood and that's what I'm going to do. And millions don't get to do that. They struggle. They're looking for, you know, roles and they're out there trying out all the time. What was that like and what turned the corner for you?
It sounds cliche. I don't take no for an answer. Like I just, even today, I make my own stuff. Like if it's like, okay, I can't do this, I'll find another way in. Any way in. I just keep knocking down that door and I, you know, it's just always on to the next thing, always bigger, better, more movies, bigger finance, all that stuff. And it's always been that way. So I moved to New York first and then I moved to LA after that. It was tough, you know, I was on my own. I didn't know anyone. I had to apply for my visa and go through all of that stuff. And I was getting jobs, auditioning and a couple of jobs that I booked though I couldn't actually do. I couldn't because my visa didn't come in. I got a O-1 modeling visa, not an acting visa. So like you can model, you can be in the movie but not speak, but you can't act. So that was one hiccup. And then, you know, there's loads of things that I went for and I didn't get. And, you know, finding the right agent and the manager, it takes time to find. And I would say really now, the last 3 months, I've actually finally found a good core group of creatives, friends, people that I can really say that's like my amazing foundation around me. It takes a long time. You know, I was in LA for 10 years. 10 years. I only moved back to the UK 3 years ago. You know, it was so 19, you know, on the autism spectrum, dyslexia. I was a little bit like, you know, I was in my own little world for a while. You know, if you spoke to me when I was 19, I'm 31 now, a completely different person. As a child, it was difficult for me to look people in the eyes because you know, I was really on the spectrum. Like people say, you're autistic now. I'm like, yeah, I am. That never leaves. You don't grow out of it. You always have that.
Right.
It's a lifelong condition. But you can improve. You can adapt to social situations. And my acting has helped that a lot.
Yeah.
But when I was in LA and I was 19 and I didn't quite know what I was doing and I was just there living it, thinking, okay, just from one day to the next, I made it happen. I don't quite know how. It wasn't like, oh, you know, I booked a massive show and that happened. It was like, you know, it was bit by bit by bit by bit.
Yeah, just putting food on the table and getting used to it, getting better each time that you did it.
Yeah.
I like that you said not taking no for an answer. I think that's the biggest defeat that the world sees, especially today. I was actually having an argument with the wife because my kids, you know, my oldest kid, I came from nothing and my kids have been spoiled because I've built, you know, wealth and businesses and fortune. So I have really thick skin and I don't fucking take no for an answer. I'm like, fuck that. We're going to be here, sit here all day, pack a lunch. You're fucking saying yes when I get done, right? That's just my mentality. But my kids don't have that, especially my oldest. And I was telling my wife that, you know, one of my biggest regrets is we babied her, right? Anytime things were tough, we bailed her out. And as each kid goes along, it's not that we less likely would have bailed them out, is that your fucks start going away, right? You give so many fucks your first kid, and then it's a little less fucks, and then a little less fucks, and then a little, and it's like, okay, this kid kind of do what they want. Well, the problem is that works for my daughter. So each kid, one is really like not used to the world, and we're trying to walk her through, stand on her 2 feet. Then the next one's a little bit better. Then the next one kind of gets a grasp. But then you got my son who's babied like the first one was. And I bring this up because he went from private school his whole life. He's in public school now, right? He's struggling with the class. He's like, I don't like class. So, and he fucking hates it. He's like, I don't like it, right?
It's great.
So my point is, it is great for him. And it's almost great that he hates it because fucking you hate things sometimes. Yeah. Like you hate getting a job here sometimes. You hate taking a role at a movie or show, but you got to do the things in order to go the place you want to go, right?
100%. 100%. You got to do that. I say everything, nothing is for free. Nothing. Even if you think you've got something, you have to sacrifice something. Always. Or if you've had a situation, you learn something from that as well. But it's always give and take. It's always a sacrifice. But all the shit that's happened to me, I would say it's made me who I am today. And, you know, if things were given to me when I was younger, I didn't come from anything. I'm very working class. My mum was a home carer. She looked after old people. My dad, electrician, worked for the local council. Very, very humble. You know, we struggled. And I was like, I want to be an actor. And they laughed at me and was like, what? Like, you know, it was kind of sad. And yeah, but also I had that, I'm going to prove it to everyone. All those fuckers at school that said I couldn't do it, you know, the outcasts, it pushes you. I think, you know, if you're born with a silver spoon, it's tough for a parent like you because you've got all this to give them and you want to give it to them, but you want them to as well make it on their own. It's that balance. It's really difficult.
Yeah, and I haven't done good on the balance. I'm just now fucking at 43 years old going, fuck. Kind of fuck this up. I got to figure this out, right? I love what you said, though. Yeah, show those fuckers the wrong thing, you know, how you can do it. I call that fuel, right? I call you, people, like some people dive into the haters and they let them slow it down. I use it as like, get your popcorn ready, get your fucking licorice ready. Fucking, I'm about to put on a show and guess what you're going to do? You're going to fucking watch because you got nothing else going on, asshole. Yeah. That's kind of my mentality. It sounds like you got the same mentality.
Oh, 100%. And have you noticed like all the awful, bullied, horrible people in school are the ones that are like living off the council benefits, no money, not saying that's bad, but they're the ones that are like not happy or enjoying their life. And they're seeing you and they're just like ghosting you, not ghosting you, what's the word? Trolling you. It's like, you know, it's fuel. I love it. And you know that social media is a tough one because, you know, I posted earlier like a lot of people that you had it on your Instagram and I was like, fucking, I love that. I'm gonna use that on one of my reels. So what was it, I've just posted it on my reels, but you know, if you're
able to pull it up, you shared one of mine on your reels.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was it. If you don't like me, you're still a fan.
Oh yeah, that's true. Right. Yeah. No matter what, you're still if you're watching me and you're not liking it, you're a fucking fan because I don't watch people I don't like. Exactly. If I like someone, I'm watching them because I want to see them succeed. The problem in the world today, Charlotte, I think, and I think you see this, especially in the industry you're in, that can be really cutthroat. I could imagine like everybody's out to fuck everybody here and there. It seems that people don't want to see people succeed. They're so jealous.
100%.
How bad is that in your industry?
100%. I'm not sure if that's, I feel like, sounds really bad, but I feel like that's more of a British thing. I feel like in America, or
you're just being naive and kind. Trust me, Americans are fucking assholes and they want to see other people fail. It's bad.
It's like that in the UK, but it's very, but we say it here like, oh, I want to do this or I want to do that. And it's like, oh, okay. I guess in America.
I think you guys are more proper. You guys are like, would you like some tea? It's fine. Fuck that guy. Like, you know, it's Southern hospitality. And I'm not mocking, but I'm saying like, they say people in the South are nice. And you know, in the country of the South, like the Carolinas and Florida and Georgia, when they're like, oh, bless you, child. God bless you. Really, they're saying fuck off, right? So that's kind of like, I'm imagining what it's like in the UK.
100%. And especially in London now, if you've got a nice car, it gets scratched. And it is, yeah. I don't know if that happens as much in the US, but in the UK, in London right now, it's bad. You got a nice car, I just wouldn't even drive it in London. It's really sad. And yeah, in my industry, it's really, really tough. I think in a way, that's why you've got to just learn to just shut it off and go, okay, I do my work, I do what I do because I love it. And yes, if people love my movies, great. If they don't, they don't. You know, a lot of the critics are people that are envious or, you know, haven't succeeded and are jealous. And it's like, I like constructive criticism. If they say, you could have done this better or this or that, and it's coming from someone that's a good filmmaker, yeah. I want to get better. If it's just someone saying shit and that's that, it's like, yeah, whatever, then you're shit. Like, if that's all you've got, then you have to, I think, justify why you're saying it. If it's good, if it's bad, and why.
You've got to know the difference, and you obviously know that difference. You're right. Of somebody giving you constructive criticism that cares for your well-being, that cares that you succeed, and they're trying to give you knowledge and give you wisdom, right? That's one thing.
Yeah.
Compared to some asshole or schmuck that's just like, they're only doing that because of that. They just got fucking lucky. They blah. They just vomit. And really, your success becomes their failure. And their failure is why you succeed. And now you got to watch out for those fuckers, right? You got to watch out for those demons out there that fucking, that's all they want to do is they don't know how to do anything themselves. They don't know how to better themselves. So they just attack others. And then they use that as why they're low. And You're absolutely right. I love constructive criticism, and like people like, hey, you could do this better. And it comes from a place of well-being and caring for you to be better. You got to be able to tell the difference.
Yep. And also, what is it? I'd say the biggest revenge is success. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I heard something the other day. It's like all these feelings you get from other people. You're giving it to yourself. Hey, love, you're the one that's taking it in. You allow what you let in, right? So all this hate,
yeah.
Why am I'm angry at this person, but why? I'm making my, really, it's me. Why am I letting the, you probably have 1,000 reasons to be angry of all the nasty, horrible things, bad people around you, what's happened to you. And a lot of people do, but you have to find a way to block it off and say, okay, well, yeah. Because anger is really fucking bad for you. The suppression in your mental health and just, you know, physically. It's not
good. And when you're angry, they win.
100%.
And you know, we get stuck in the moment. We're like, fuck that mother. Like, I'm pissed. And then it's like, fuck, they're winning because they just affected how I feel. They just fucking scored points because they affected how I feel.
Yep, exactly. And I'm dealing a lot of that with lawyers at the moment. And I'm thinking, actually, but they don't give a shit. It's a game to them. It's they're getting paid by the hour. They don't give a shit.
That's right. Lawyers like to drag that shit out. Trust me. I fucking know. Like, they're like, oh, we don't need to settle yet. Let's just keep fucking doing this and see how long we can keep this, stay on this tit, you know, and keep pulling it out. Hate that. You know, I have a buddy of mine that's a lawyer. I'm not buddies with a lot of lawyers, but I have a couple that it's a buddy. And he's like, you know, with lawyers, 6 feet's not enough. You got to build theirs fucking 12 feet deep. For when they die, right? So, because they just come back up. So, to talk about overcoming Asperger's, you know, my youngest daughter, we believe, has Asperger's. And maybe this is my perception of Asperger's, so let me tell you. So, like, everyone in my family has some kind of mental health issue, whether it's bipolar, whether it's personality disorder. I self claim that I'm fucking perfect. Like, I'm like, I got no problems, but truly I have a little case of assholitis and I have a hot temper and I'm probably somewhat bipolar. But all of my kids and wife, we all kind of, you know, we have something and it's hereditary. Plus it's also environmental based on where you're raised. And so my youngest daughter is the most like me. She's OCD. Like, everything bothers her. If someone chews, it fucking irritates her. She's overly advanced in books and school, but things like just rubbing your shirt puts her up a fucking wall. And she says, I'm told that's part of Asperger's, is that?
That sounds a little bit like it. For example, I think how I was diagnosed was a few things. My mum said to me, I absolutely couldn't stand loud noises. Like, you know.
Yep, that's her.
Loud noises, I would just scream and have a meltdown. Chewing, my dad constantly chews Nicorette chewing gum. I cannot stand it. It just does my head in. It's just like, oh, just, but. But I would say we're highly, highly sensitive that what affects, you know, regular people that aren't on the autism spectrum, it will really affect us. So, like, day-to-day stressful things, like, and I get a little bit obsessive as well. Like, if I get an email, I have to check it again. It's like switching the light bulb.
That's how she is.
But then if I've got this huge pressure, like real fucking bad issue that I've got to deal with, like, I can deal with that, but an email will drive me mad. It's like the balance is very strange, but yeah, it is strange if you think about it. Like, the big things, I'm like, it is what it is. I'll deal with it, I guess. But the little things are the things that drive me mad. So that's why I'm like, yeah, I need to separate my phones and I need everything. You know, and it affects my sleep. And then anxiety comes with that as well, I think. You know, I get very anxious, especially at night. It's, but, you know, there's ways to deal with it and understanding it, being around other people that have it, which actually I haven't really been. My mum, they say it's hereditary, my mum.
Yeah.
She says, when I look at you, I just see me. You got traits, what you do, what you don't like. It's very, very, very similar. But then also my mum says, she's definitely Asperger's. She's done this, this, and this. She says, I think a lot of us have a lot of autism. We're on the spectrum. We just don't know it, right? So there's it's yeah. for reasons. So your daughter might be, you know, one end. And then you've got someone like Rain Man, who's very autistic and is very hard to day-to-day life. You know, it's really, really tough for a lot of people. And then I think, you know, someone like myself, I overcame it by acting and you know, I've got this will to succeed. I don't know if that's part of my autism or it, you know, in a way it's contributed a lot, but I don't know if that's part of it. You know, you moved to the US when you were 19 and you didn't know anyone. That's amazing. I'm like, but I wasn't scared. Like a big part of it for me is I don't see certain things I should be scared of. I didn't see fear back then. Oh, I'm going to jump on a plane, 19, don't know where I'm living, what I'm going to do, and just see what happens. That's, for a lot of people, that's scary. But I didn't really see consequences in that respect. So in a way, it's helped me a lot. It really has.
But the email will piss you the fuck off. That sounds exactly like my daughter. The big things she can handle. Maybe I have a little bit of that too, because I'm really great under big issues, and it's the small things that drive me fucking nuts.
I've got two.
Just phones. Nuts.
Oh my God, an English phone and a US phone. And so I have like these online classes.
Why do you have to have two phones? I hate that. I have other friends that have two phones too. And I'm just, they won't, like, what's the issue?
So for example, you know, once in a blue moon, your phone will crash and die. And then what do you do? And then we're all at mercy for our phones right now. And like,
we really are.
But my online workout classes, I have my old phone standing by. With Shazam, if a song comes on and I like it, even just a little bit, I have to Shazam it. I have to. If I don't, it will be on my mind all day.
What does that mean, Shazam it? What's that mean?
Oh, Shazam is where, you know, where it's an app where you click on it and then it tells you what the name of the song is.
Okay, so yeah, that's what you're talking about. So if you hear something, you got to Shazam it immediately because it'll bother you the rest of the fucking day if you don't know what it is.
No, it's bad. It's bad. Like if I'm out in a nightclub, my phone, I'm like, Shazam, I like this song. Why? Just in case, you know, I do a movie one day and I need a soundtrack for this and I can go through my, never going to happen. It's like, but I have to do it. And my mum was like, you know, so I tell my mum about all these big things and this closing this deal and that movie. And she's like, so how are you getting on with your Shazam? Have you stopped Shazam? What about your emails? I'm like, well, not really. It's like,
it's not funny.
That's definitely Asperger's. It's definitely Asperger's. But then, you know, some people have it really bad and, you know, it's really difficult for them to function and they can't have a normal, regular life. You know, they're stuck in the ages of, you know, toddler years. It's very sad.
Yeah. I think my grandson, I do have two grandkids. I know I look like I'm 25. I'm just kidding. I have two grandkids. So I've got one that's four, my granddaughter, my grandson's two, and he won't let sit in a fucking room without the doors closed. You walk into a room, he's got to close the doors. He's got to close the windows, freaks out about it. I'm like, oh shit. So I know that things are hereditary. I know he's got some stuff going on there where he's OCD or Asperger's. He's got some stuff going on.
My niece, she's 4 and a half and she doesn't speak. She's severely autistic. And my mom, don't worry, Charlotte had it. Look how well Charlotte's done. But she's got it slightly different than me because she's not talking and she's in her own little
way. Yeah.
Communicate with her and she's just like, so she's going to go to a special needs school. So I think that'd be really good for her. I was going to go to a special school. I didn't. But I think some people need it. Some people, you know, what. Depends. I think it all depends on the spectrum.
So talk to me about some of your first roles that really, you know, I saw that you were in some cool stuff. Is it Oceans?
Yes. Yeah, so when I was in LA, I'd done quite a few films. I was with, you know, I co-starred along Bruce Willis, sci-fi movie Vice, Ocean's 11, that where Sandra Bullock, it was like a female cast, How to Be Single, and you know, it was amazing. And you know, I was doing that for a few years, and then I met my ex-fiance, Neil Marshall, very, very, very talented filmmaker, writer, director, Game of Thrones, The Descent, amazing.
By the way, Game of Thrones, one of my favorite things of all time. Oh, by the way.
like people.
Love that.
It hit something, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then with his creative genius and my kind of not taking no for an answer, we kind of were unstoppable for a while. So when we're in LA, just before COVID, we co-wrote, produced, I starred, he directed The Reckoning, which was an award-winning piece. It's a horror drama. That got released during COVID, but it did well. It went into cinemas. It's on Amazon. That was kind of like my first movie that I was, that I did everything, you know, co-produced. Yeah. So that was very interesting. And then after The Reckoning, we did The Lair, the alien one.
Which, by the way, I saw the trailer for The Lair. Talk about that one, because that looks really good.
So actually, we wrote The Lair during COVID. So we were like, okay, so let's write a film, COVID friendly, where we can kill people off, and it's outside, so everyone's protected and all that stuff. Unfortunately, Neil can't write low budget movies. It was meant to be like a low budget, under $1 million, all that kind of good stuff. It ended up being like over $4.5 million, I think, in total. It kind of started, yeah, a bunch of kids in a house in the desert, and then it started. Then it ended up Afghanistan. I played a British fighter pilot that gets shot down by insurgents in Afghanistan, and I find the Russian bunker that back in the day, Russians were experimenting alien DNA, mixing alien DNA with human DNA, called the Ravagers. They are these alien creatures. I don't want to give too much away. That came out earlier last year. I'm proud of that. I had to, you know, learn how to shoot an AK-47. Never shot a gun before. to be a...
How long does a movie like that take? You said it costs about $4.5 million. How long does it take to film that?
Oh my God, we shot it in 30 days.
Holy shit. Did you guys travel to Afghanistan to do it, or you just did the desert and pretend to be in Afghanistan?
Oh yeah, no, we didn't. We shot it in Budapest because it's a great location for it, and there's a good tax credit there. So yeah, so that was... like all of my films, like The Reckoning, I had to learn how to ride a horse and sword fight, and then The Lair, I had to learn to shoot guns and fly planes and all that stuff. And then the two films now that I've just finished, we have Duchess. Duchess was me and Neil's baby for a long time. So I was sitting there one day and I was like, Neil, all the amazing gangster films, the Goodfellas, Scarface, Casinos. When's there been like a really good gangster movie, and you know, but a gangster movie with a woman calling the shots? He's like, So that's when Duchess was born. Southeast London girl meets, falls in love with the head of a cartel, based in Cape Town, kind of like Blood Diamond vibe. So that we shot that is coming out beginning of next year. Saban have just picked.
I'm gonna have to check that out. How long does it take after you film something to get it ready to, you know, to edit? Is that what takes the longest, is the edits?
So for us, it's like, I would say 1 year, and that's everything. That's film, edit, get it out there.
Yeah.
It's finding that being in the US for a long time and doing small budget studio movies, middle movies, I understand now the structure, how to make a quality movie on a budget. The opportunities we have now with Netflix, Amazon, all the streamers, like how we can do it for a price and then sell it for more. You know, it's just that there's a formula. So, and it's taken a while, but I've now found it and got the right team around me and the right people. And really, my goal is just to make good quality entertainment movies, you know?
Yeah.
that people enjoy.
You guys ever looked at doing series or shows or just movies?
No, absolutely. I haven't dipped into that yet, TV shows, but
yeah.
I have a couple that we're developing. Massive as well. Massive. You know, you tap into that and you get a deal with Netflix or whoever, you know, that's the way forward. But that's something I definitely...
Netflix is what I'm told, and I'm just now, you know, scratching the surface in this industry, right? We got approached by Amazon. We're doing, you know, the Amazon, but ultimately we're looking to sell the show, you know, for season two and bundle it together. And I hear Netflix is the top one, right? Netflix. Amazon's okay. That's what I was told. Maybe I'm wrong, but I was told you get Netflix, that's the big deal.
Yes, well, it depends. Like Netflix are amazing for documentaries as well, right? But yours is really Hulu. Hulu's great for reality as well.
Yeah.
E.
We're talking to Crackle and Paramount.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
They would all be great. All of them.
But
they're not. Yeah, I mean.
And Discovery.
Discovery's good.
Really? Yeah. So the guy that's a part of our deal is he helped write the show Bar Rehab. You ever seen that show?
No, I've heard of it though.
With John Tapper. So he goes into bars and just rehabs it, and it's a reality show, but he's an asshole, and he goes in there, he's like, "You better fucking do this, you're gonna lose your bar," and all this stuff. So that's the guy that was kind of the brains behind this, because they were gonna have a show where I went and helped businesses, and I'm like this dick that's like, "Charlotte, you guys gotta fucking do this, or you're gonna lose your business, etc." But then when they kind of filmed the family, they were like, "Holy shit, your family's fucking crazy, and the dynamic is nuts. You go to work and you're this badass fucking business entrepreneur podcast, take no shit, you go home and you don't run a fucking thing," right? It's like Ozzy Osbourne and you know, and he's like, you're fucking outnumbered, you're playing zone, you're losing every time, like, you know. So, and I was like, yeah, like let's fucking do that. So that's how that came about.
Okay, you got it, because they've seen life and they go, "It's fucking cool and interesting, and people want to see this. People are interested.
People want to be, yeah, like, how did this asshole make so much money? How did he fucking lose that much money? What does he do?" Like, you know, and then there's some knowledge there, because they're following me around, talking to companies, building two new businesses. Like, in a year, it's doing $25 million a year in sales, and I've had the new company for a year, right? That's triple, three times the speed that I did with the solar company. So there's just different things there, but... You know, like, I'm also getting thrown off the football field because I coach youth football and I'm yelling at parents and they're talking shit. And I'm like, "Shut the fuck up." You know, there's cameras. I didn't do it. Like, I'm that guy that, you know.
You've got so many sides to you, which is interesting. You know, people.
I'm personality issues. Like, I fucking got all kinds of. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm super happy or I'm a fucking asshole. There's no in between, right? And I don't want to be an asshole, but I don't have gears. My whole life has been. You know, most people are like, "All right, I'm in the second gear. I'm in fourth gear." I'm like, "Things are great. All right, fuck you." It just went from two to fuck you.
Yep.
That's my problem.
But I think that's what makes you so successful and so interesting.
Yeah.
Like, high performance people are like that. We're not normal. We don't operate well on normal wavelengths. We've got to be.
We need chaos. We flourish on chaos.
Yeah, we do. We bring it to ourselves, don't we? I have to say, we do.
It's like, "This is too fucking boring. Bam, let's make some shit happen." Like, that's what happens.
Yes, like I was in Orlando, 2 weeks ago now, and I'm like, "Oh, I'm working here now." I'm like, "Oh, I need to get away again. I've been in the country for too long, 2 weeks. I need to get away." And it's like, fucking hell.
It's because you're bored, because there's no fucking crazy.
Exactly. It's true. That's why I love
that. That's weird.
Crazy.
Yeah, I love it. I crazy is my vibe for sure. So the lair, I'm definitely going to have to check out. What's next for you? What do you got going on? You said you had a couple movies coming out next.
Yes.
I think it's so inspiring for people to understand that millions of people try to even get into being an actress. And not only have you done that, but you've written movies and now you've directed and produced movies. And now you're over here and you're doing everything you aspire to do, and you're only 31 years old.
Yeah, but I'm like, yeah, it's not enough.
You ever? And you're a high energy, successful. We just talked about it. Fuck it, I gotta go person. So it's asking the question. I already know the fucking answer. But do you ever like stop and smell the roses, or is the answer fuck no?
Fuck no, and it's really fucking bad. It's my friend's birthday tomorrow, and she's like, come with me to a spa. And I'm like, oh, a day of not working. Oh, God, I feel like it's not productive. I have to do something. I have to burn out. Then at like 5 o'clock. Well, 5, 6 o'clock, I think I can chill. And then the US wakes up, and then there's more calls, more this, more that. But no, I never, like, it's really hard. Like, if I go back and see my mom, who's, you know, in the town where we grew up, I'm like there for a couple of hours. And I'm like, oh, this is really depressing. I have to get out of here, because I love being with her. But like, this environment's really important for me, I've noticed.
If it's like this, it doesn't work for you. It's got to be like this. It's got to be chaos.
Why? Because I'm a crazy creative. I don't know.
I'll tell you what I think it is. It's the dopamine that you get from the chaos and overcoming it. Mm. You're a dopamine junkie, right? So a true story. So I bought this thing called the cold plunge. I should get in it more. Like, I'm trying to get all in shape, right? I'm like, yeah, I got to get my shit together. And when I get in, I fucking freeze to death. I feel like my fucking legs and ass and everything's going to fall off. But I tough it out for about 90 seconds. My son does 15 minutes. He's an asshole. He's a sweat. He shows off. He's fucking crazy. But I get in there 90 seconds. I'm like, holy fuck. But the amazing feeling after it is like, wow, like it's the best feeling in the world. And I now am realizing, when I conquer and defeat the chaos that I need, I get a similar feeling. And so it's that dopamine that I think you're addicted to. So if you ever get a chance to get a cold plunge and you're having a fucking just dead day, like it's like this, jump in that motherfucker for 2 or 3 minutes and then fucking see how you feel, because that 3 minutes is hell. But right after, you're like, holy shit, I can fucking jump over a building. I feel so great.
I feel alive. That is meant to be so good for you. So
it is so good. It's good here. Like I say, it's good for everybody. It's fine, but it's so good here. Like, it's a game changer. You would love that, because if you need that kick in the ass, that chaos, that dopamine, I think that's what it is. And I didn't go to college, and I'm not a fucking doctor, but I can tell you, like, I don't do drugs, right? I rarely drink. I like a few cocktails to try to, because my problem is I'm so wired. I'm like, how the fuck can I calm down? So I'll have a few drinks, right? I've tried marijuana. I'm the guy that fucks it up for everybody. If I get high, I fuck it up for everybody, because I'm like, are we going to die? Charlotte, do you think the cops are coming? What's happening? Holy shit. Like, so I can't do it. I wish I could. I can't. So I have a few drinks. But the way that I keep my high in life, if it's so boring, is when I jump into that, or I do like a cryo. Then it's after that I have my dopamine. I'm like, okay. I'm like bouncing around. Like, I have tattoos of like Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. I have like Tigger jumping up and down, right? I feel good again.
Oh my God. I've got to do that. You know, also right now I'm learning Spanish.
That's cool.
Brain, so good. So like being an English.
Normal Spanish or like Portuguese?
Spanish.
Okay.
Spanish.
I like it.
You know, it's being an English speaker, we're like, I don't need to learn another language. So I'm like, okay, let's do that. Something else. You know, with the actor strike right now, so the last few months has been a little bit tough. You know, we can't do anything. So I'm like, okay, keep creative, writing, setting up for next year, staying productive. You know, doing things that's going to be healthy for my mind, and, you know, thinking of 2024. Yeah. 2024 is going to be a good year. I know that. I feel it.
I feel it too. You're a positive person. I love that. You're not like stuck in the mud. You're like, no, look, everything's forward. That's good.
Oh, you've always got to be forward. I think looking back, a load of people just dwell on the past. It's so bad. So, but, you know, I love to be around a lot of people like you. We feed off each other's energy, and a lot of people don't have that energy. You know, and you've got to. It takes your energy. You know, a lot of people take your energy. It's finding the people like yourself. I always like to be, I don't want to sound pretentious, but I like to be around people that are at my level or above me. And a lot of people are above me. You know, I don't want to be or anything like that, or success. I just mean like spiritually, in a way. You know, a lot of people are, you know, they're there, they're happy, they're content. I love to feed off that and to learn off that. You know, people that are just don't have much going on, don't want to do anything. There's not like, oh,
they drain you.
Yes,
they suck you out like a succubus. They just fucking steal your soul. You know, it's funny you say that. I talk about this all the time, right? Weak people, mm-hmm. Weak fucking people want to hang out with people less than them, so they feel important and valued, which is sad.
Yeah.
And weak. I love to kind of be in the middle, and here's why. I don't want to be around dicks or assholes that are draining me. That's just bad news. But people that are wanting to grow, And there's a difference. I like to have, hey, yeah, I like to bring them with me, but I love to be around people I can grow from where I'm like, holy shit, I want to get to that level. How do I get to that? Because I look at success and I'm like, fuck yeah. I never look at somebody and go, they're only that because of this. I'm the opposite. I'm like, dude, that's fucking amazing. Holy shit, what can I learn from that person? But that's all on how you take the world and where you want to be. And that's the difference between someone who's a hater and a succubus and is never going to do anything and people who want to succeed and love to see people win.
Yeah, but they're really hard to find, navigate a lot.
So hard to find. So hard to find because everyone's fake. They grin fuck you. They're like, oh, it's good to see you. Good to see you. You know, she only did this. Like, that's the problem. Now, me, I've gotten so used to it that I'm like, I'm an open book. I'm so vocal. And you kind of can't be as vocal as me because in the expertise that you're in, fucking everybody's judgmental. But I've taken the opposite approach, kind of like Andrew Tate. I'm not an Andrew Tate fan. I think he's okay at best. But my point is like, I've kind of taken it like, you know what? They took $400 million from me and I lost a $1 billion company and they tried to cancel me out. I give zero fucks if you like me or not. I walk into my kid's school and tell the principal, I don't give a fuck. He's either going to go here. Like I have zero fucks. I have, you know, things where I'm mooning people, which probably isn't appropriate, but I'm like, you know what? Kiss my ass. I moon people. I post it. People are like, that's crazy. I'm like, I don't care anymore. And when you hit a point in life where you really don't give a fuck, it feels amazing. It's hard to get there, but it feels amazing.
But then you attract the people you want to attract when you're there, right? When you get to...
Correct, because a lot of people are like, I ain't going around that motherfucker. And then, but the people that do, you're like, these are my people. And I like that. Because I don't need... I used to be at a spot, you know, when I was running my company, everyone was kissing my ass. They were putting me on all kinds of shows. I'm going on public. I'm fucking worth $400 million. I've got Lambos and Ferraris and houses and all this shit. And I'm on top and everybody's like, kiss ass, ass kiss. And so you could never find anybody that's real. And then when everything crashed and I get all these lawsuits and it was out of my control that it crashed. I did everything I was supposed to do. But the media and people spin the way they want to and want to believe and want to hate and go, that's why it was so successful, because they don't ever see themselves successful, so they got to believe the bullshit of why I got there, which isn't true. Needless to say, all those fucking users go away. All those people you think were your friends, but you were just there for them to use you or be relevant, they go away, and then you see who your real people are. And that's the wake up I had.
And there's not many, but that's like when you hit rock bottom, that's when you know, as you said, that's who you know who your friends are. When you get the lawsuits and you, Molly! My dog is barking.
Your dog's fine.
You get the bad press and you get the lawsuits and people, it's easy for people to read the headlines and go, cancel culture. Oh, she's just this, he's just that. Where do you get that from? Have you met me? Do you
know?
I'm going to get my dog.
So wrong. Okay.
Right, Molly. I mean, you know, this one is my best friend.
Oh, wow.
My teddy bear.
Yep. Very cute. Love the ears.
She's a lady from Lady and the Tramp with the spigot.
I see that. That's a great movie, by the way.
Yes. You're spoiled. Spoiled gremlin.
Molly. Very cute.
Oh, but you know how nasty people are, though. Like when I've had terrible things written about me in the press and I'm this and I'm that, and it's like, like, how do journalists do that? Or yeah, how do you like bringing, well, they do. People love putting you up there and then bringing you down. They love to see you come down.
They do love it. It's weird. They want to see the dragon's head cut off. But you know what they love more than that, though, Charlotte?
The rebirth.
They love after they cut your head off. They love to see they love to see the rebound. They love to see you come back. The comeback is always bigger than the setback. It's fucking weird. It's like the Rocky mentality. Like, I want fuck Rocky, and then Rocky loses. It's like, yeah, he lost. Oh shit, here he comes back. Let's go, Rocky. Like, it's weird how people are.
What is that about? Like, but then I've got like I can't fucking give a shit about that. Like, they're haters. They are what they are. They're going to follow me anyway. So whatever, fucking blocked. I never read the comments. And, you know, but then I get the odd message in the inbox. Like, oh, you're such an amazing actress. I love your film. You think, oh, just one of those is just worth doing what I do.
A million of the bad ones. They're worth a million of the bad ones. I agree. I get a message that says I touched them, I inspired them to not quit today or open something else or not give up or whatever. It's like, I could care if a million people say I'm an asshole, I'm a piece of shit. Don't care. That one made me feel better.
Yeah, what is it? it's like, it'll be interesting to see the balance, right? Who's, well, I think I know what it is, especially on social media. It's 80%, a lot of followers. It's like, is that, are they all green-eyed monsters? Are they all the jealous ones? Or do they actually care? You know, because it's like, how many, it's interesting how many followers you have, but then how many likes, genuine likes you get, right?
So it is crazy. And that's why I said that on that post. I believe half of my followers and half of my listeners fucking hate me, but they're fans and I'm okay with it. I'm like, hey, keep it up, because they can't stand it.
Because you have opinion and you're interesting and you've got shit going on and you've been here, you've got back.
Think about Trump. Everybody still watches him. Half the world fucking hates him. Everybody watches him. Like, if I'm going to pay for an advertising commercial, I want to do it when Trump's speaking, because everybody's fucking watching.
Yeah, he's brilliant at captivating. There's some things I don't want to say my opinion on certain people, but yeah, some people can just do it and just captivate people.
But the point is half the world hates him. Even if it's more than half, they all watch him.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So imagine if Trump had a podcast, right? Imagine if Trump had a reality TV show right now. Like, he chooses not to, but my point is that's my mentality of this. Is like, the more people that hate, the more that are going to follow. You ever watch boxing?
Not on TV. I like to watch it.
Do you you know who Floyd Mayweather is, right? Floyd Mayweather Jr.?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know his old name used to be Pretty Boy Floyd?
Did it?
Yeah, so about 15 years ago, 14 years ago, he was Pretty Boy Floyd. He was undefeated, because he ended undefeated, and nobody ever bought his fights. He was a champ, but he was quiet. He was Pretty Boy Floyd. True story. Jamie Foxx talks about this on Joe Rogan's podcast, because Jamie Foxx and Floyd are like this. He decided to change his brand to be a heel, to be a bad guy, to get people to hate him. And he became Money Mayweather.
Money Mayweather.
And what happened? Everybody hated him. And what'd they do? They bought his fucking fight. Why? Because they wanted to see him fucking lose, because they hated him, because he was arrogant, because he was cocky, because he would burn cash, because he owned strip clubs. All of the things that they just don't like, that they're jealous of. And here he is just getting rich off those fucking people. So if they see my billboard, or they see my podcast, or they see my TV, I'm just giving an example. I used to tell myself, you fucking hate me all you want, still gonna get me paid.
You're making money. You're making me money. The more controversial you are, but it's not about like, oh, I'm gonna be controversial so I can get more followers. And no, it's not that. It's the more real you are, the more people see that. Trump and Mayweather, maybe that's his real colors. Like,
whether they like him or not, because Mayweather created his brand to be an asshole. And then he really became the asshole. But he, and I like him, I'm a fan. But my point is it's genius. It's like, you're going to pay to watch me fucking lose. Like, I'm going to get more people to hate me, so more people buy the fight.
It's genius. It's like the films. It's like, you know, certain actors, when you're in the press and you're relevant and people are talking about you, more people are going to go and see your movies. It's just, you know, just the way it is. You've got to...
It's like Kim Kardashian. You don't think that fucking video was leaked? Right? I mean, come on. The video's leaked, and then everyone's like, I want to see her on TV. Of course. Yeah, why not?
Kris Jenner, the mom, genius.
Fucking genius. Agreed. Fucking genius. And monetized every aspect. And look, I am never comparing my show to that. But my point is they ask, what are your aspirations? I said, well, to get the show sold season two and to keep going. But ultimately, a dream goal would be to monetize each situation where each one of my kids can have their own shit, kind of like Kris Jenner did. I don't know if it'll ever get to that level. And that's not the goal, because I like to stay in the moment. But that's kind of like the vision. That's the path you want to go down.
Absolutely. And when you said to me about, who would you recommend? I'm like, when you said E, Kardashians, right? It was E's Kardashians.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. And I see that when I saw on your Instagram, I'm like, Kardashians are great, but they're on like season 155 now. It's like, ugh, enough. We need someone.
And if you watch season one, now I hate to say this, and God forgive me, I'm going to say it. Sometimes people aren't pretty, they're rich. If you go watch season one, the Kardashians are ugly as fuck.
Look at them now.
And then look at them now. That's what rich. Look, money makes you cute. Like there are some people just have beauty, and that's fine. But if you're ugly and you get famous, you can make yourself pretty.
Oh, 100%.
And they're an example of that, because if you look what they really look like in season one, you're like, holy fuck, they don't even look the same.
Not different people. I totally agree. Different people. Completely.
And that's okay. I ain't mad at it. I fucking love it. If I were ugly, I feel like I'm pretty good looking. But if I were fucking ass ugly, I would do the same thing. I ain't mad at you. I would do the same thing.
But it's like, Kardashian, everyone knows who she is around the world. Everyone. Household name. How much is she worth? What has she got going on? She's like, fucking hell, man. She's smashing it. And, you know, you like her or you don't. People say, oh, whatever. She got famous because of this, that, leak tape.
Doesn't matter.
Everyone's fucking talking about her. How many people, hundreds of millions of people are following you? So she's doing something right. She's not fucking stupid. So smart.
It's very true. Yeah. Genius. Listen, we could do this all day. I love talking to you. You got great energy. Very fucking smart. Where can everybody find you? And we'll have all your stuff on there, but where can they find you at?
So, yeah, Instagram, Charlotte Kirk Official, Facebook, but... whatever I post on Instagram's on Facebook anyway, so Twitter, but I don't tweet much, so yeah, Instagram's probably the place to find me.
You got a good LinkedIn too. I saw your LinkedIn,
and I have a website as well that's kind of got all my up-to-date blogs and all that kind of good stuff.
I got the website pulled up right here. It is charlottekirk.com, so we will share that stuff on there. I do want to, before we wrap up, do you believe in aliens?
Of course I do.
Have you ever seen any aliens besides mine here that are real? Other than that?
Yes, I've shot and killed aliens before.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You're my people, Charlotte. You get it, right? These fucking people that don't believe, they don't understand what's going on.
Oh,
I had my buddy here from Pakistan, Hader. And did you know that you've seen the video of the U.S. government with the little thumb, the Tic Tac flying around?
Yep.
We've never even seen that video. He's like, they don't play this where I'm at. And I'm like, motherfucker, that's weird, because there's some shit going on here and it's all over the fucking place and you don't even see that shit?
He's not living on Earth. He's living with them. He just doesn't know it yet. How about that?
His TV show's Al Jazeera, I think. That's the TV. That's the stations he's got there. He doesn't have, you know, other stations. Well, what's the big network there?
Half gremlin, half creature, being alien with me now. So, you know.
Yeah. Molly. I could totally see it. Molly used to run shit back in the day.
Oh, 100%. And now she's just living.
Well, Charlotte, I appreciate you coming up here on the Unleashed show, sharing your vision, sharing your story. Definitely get some laughs out there talking about haters. Good luck on the new movies coming out. Super excited to hear about that. I want The Duchess, right? That's the one coming out next year?
Duchess and Compulsion.
So me and my wife will definitely watch The Duchess, because we're into all the mob movies, right? And she's always asking, like, why don't they have a female one too? She's always asking that. So I think that'll be a gangster click right there. You know what show I really like that came out recently? Peaky Blinders. Peaky fucking Blinders.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking cool. Yeah.
It's a good show.
That was a great show. I'm kind of obsessed now. I'm very late to the game, but I was very, very late. Breaking Bad.
Oh yeah, you are late. Have you seen Sons of Anarchy?
No, I need to see that as well.
Holy fuck, you gotta watch that one.
I know, I need to see that.
It's a good one.
Yeah, and Sopranos. Fucking, I've watched it. And
you've never seen Sopranos?
Oh, but I'm rewatching it because I fucking love it.
Oh, what about, have you seen Sex Life?
Yes. That's new on that was a new one on Netflix 2 years ago. Yeah, that's interesting. I think about the girl that's kind of in love with the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, that was a good fucking show, though, dude. Like, they came out 2 seasons. That was solid. I did a whole thing on my 10 favorite shows recently. I'm trying to remember what else. I had Game of Thrones on there, too. I like Yellowstone. You ever watch Yellowstone?
Yeah. I watched, like, the first season, and then I stopped. But that was a really... That was. Ozark.
Loved Ozark. Yeah, that was great. That was a good show. The fucking ending was twisted, too.
I didn't get to the ending, I have to say. I think coming from my brother's mouth, he would say best show ever made, Sopranos.
I would agree with that. That's my number one.
Fucking brilliant. Oh, amazing.
Nip Tuck was good too back in the day.
Nip Tuck? I haven't seen that one.
That's like where the plastic surgeons. My son was named after that Christian on there.
Oh, cute. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
Check that one out.
That was a good one. Yeah, that was where they had a plastic surgery place in Florida and L.A. And all this drama was going on when they were, you know, doing lips and tits and everything. All this shit was going on. The doctors, they're trying to close down the place. They had a murder behind, dealing with the cartel. It was pretty good. It was on FX.
Speaking of cartels, Narcos. Fucking brilliant.
Knockoffs? I haven't seen it.
Narcos. It's Pablo Escobar.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right. But I haven't seen it, though. Is it good?
Fucking amazing. Amazing. It's in Spanish. Parts in Spanish, parts in English. Brilliant.
Do you just put the subtitles on?
Yeah. It's amazing. You have to.
I'll have to watch that.
And it's
that's a good one.
Back in the 80s as well, so I love a good period piece. So good.
I love all that medieval shit. I don't know why. I just like medieval shit. Or I like 1800s.
You need to watch my movie, The Reckoning. That's England, 1665.
The Reckoning and
the
Lair.
The Reckoning, The Lair, yeah, Guinness, Duchess as well. That'll be in cinemas as well, so you and your wife can see it in the cinemas. That'll be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. All right. Well, hey, Charlotte, thank you for coming on the show. That's a wrap here on Unleashed. Bam!